Good morning, my friends, again. I'm happy to be with you this morning. This is the fourth day of our little daily devotion dealing with the road leading to the last week. So the topic is actually then helping us to understand how that we should be able to discover that the last week is not yet fulfilled, or it haven't yet started yet. So now I want to look into the three scriptures that we have used in 1 Thessalonians, 1 Corinthians, and in the book of Revelation, chapter 10. And deal more specific on the development of these, shall we say, happenings, what is going to happen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, because we are just small individuals desiring, Lord, to see the fulfillment of Bible prophecy in a positive way. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to open our eyes so we can see the fulfillment of the scriptures and have the ability to calm our spirit, not to fall asleep, but to be alert, but also at ease, that you will confirm for your believing people the things that will happen so that they can be at ease in their lives and be able to press on fully with an understanding that they are right where they're supposed to be scripturally, time-wise, and in balance with you. Because you will come and reveal thy presence to them, to us. That's my prayer, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We are looking at the time leading up to the last week. And that's the 70th week of Daniel, which is not yet started. Because the 70th week of Daniel will actually include the prophetic ministry of the two prophets that we read about in the book of Revelation, chapter 11. And also, it will include the sealing of the 144,000 Jews that we read about in Revelation chapter 7. And that is the first part of the 70th week. Two prophets anointing a lot of people. And then in the middle of the week, the Antichrist will come in, will kill the two prophets, and start a ministry that is more like a devil than anything. He will claim to be a god, but he is the god of this world. And then the last 1260 days are going to be the most tragic moment for this world. Things that have never occurred before in such cruelty is what this man and this system will do to the world, because, or should we say, before the Lord ends everything with the summing up, like we read in the prophet Daniel, that the fourth kingdom will be taken away with a little stone that are cut out from a mountain and thrown down on the legs of this image that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream back in Daniel chapter 2. So here, the last week is coming closer and closer, but we are not going to look at the last week itself, but the road to it. What is coming? How close are we to that week now? What will it take to start the week? What ending of the Gentile dispensation are we looking at so that we can say, now everything is fulfilled for the Gentiles. It's time for God to move back to the Jews. All right? So the warnings was that the Lord will come with a shout. We mentioned that in other earlier this week. Come with a shout. And we explain that to be the message, the prophetic ministry of William Branham. But since he died in 1965, then the prophetic ministry will have to go on with other people because it wasn't over. When Brother Branham died, you will have to say, did Jezebel religion have an end? When I look today around in the world, I will say, Jezebel is still alive. And how people fully turn back to God. Then I'll say, it is more confusion now than it has ever been in this world. And I'm talking about the religious world, about the Branham followers, the ones who believe that there was a prophet. People have taken their own ideas about the prophetic ministry and created their own topics around it. And it has caused more confusion than even when Brother Branham himself was alive. Remember, when Brother Branham traveled in his ministry, he told that he had heard that people had started baptizing in his name, in the name of William Branham. And he was so shocked when he heard that, that he went back to Jeffersonville in his own church and he stayed, made a statement, people are baptizing in my name now. That is making me an antichrist. And that spirit I cannot work under such conditions. So if you guys don't stop doing this, I will have to go off the scene, cut off the ministry, and just be a regular believer. I will not travel around and be an object to take the place of Jesus Christ. So he was ashamed of his own people who did that. And it was even people in Jeffersonville that was opposing it and trying to make William Branham a more important man that he himself felt he was. He was just a messenger. He was a mouthpiece for God to turn the people's hearts back to God and to get rid of the Jezebel religion. So here, when he was alive, he tried his level best to cut these legs off of the people that tried to elevate him to a god. But then he died, and after then, people did not stop elevating Brother Branham. So for some people, he has become the most important vessel. And some people say, we cannot listen to anything else but the tapes of Brother Branham. Well, you are free to listen to tapes, but remember, Brother Branham spoke the truth in them. And he also told the people, remember, if you ever read something or hear something out of my mouth that is not exactly what the Bible says, then believe the Bible Don't start believing in me, because I always believe the Bible. Sometimes words and expressions can come a little out of line because of my enthusiasm. And then I may say things that are not strictly according to the scriptures. Then let it go. Stay on the scriptures. That was Brother Branham's advice through his life of ministry. And that goes for every believer, every preacher, every person that are trying to express the word of God. If you are not according to scripture, but you try to deviate and make an unbalanced picture because of your own mind, then leave it alone. Let the Bible be the ruler, because that is the only thing that is the absolute. All right. So here, after Brother Branham passed away, the gospel had been preached now for many, many years. It's soon to be 60 years since the man passed away, and there have been generation. Okay, Brother Branham's generation is gone. He was born in 1909, and he died 56 years old. And there were men that were 25 to 30 years old when Brother Branham passed away, and they took the message, the Bible part of it, and kept pressing on for the Lord to introduce what Brother Branham said and to establish the fact. We need to get back to the Word of God, back to Revelation, and get rid of the Jezebel religion. And now, all them people that were together with Brother Branham and preached, they're also gone. They're dead. They're not anymore there. And today there is a generation living that never saw the prophet. They never knew him in person. And now some of them take on themselves to pluck asunder the message Brother Branham preached. And they are making a mockery out of the end time message. Well, some people may be the reason that mockery started, because they were not really dedicated believers who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and were led by the Holy Spirit. And that's another thing. But when people start then to make a mockery out of a man that tried his level best to live Christ-like, then I'll say, shame on them. But here on earth, the Lord has preserved people. Like he said to Elijah one time way back in 1 Kings chapter 19, when Elijah said, I am the only one left. And the Lord said to him, no, you're not the only one. I have separated to myself 7,000 men that has not bone their knees to Balaam. So it might look like you are alone in this world, but remember, God is still in control, and he knows each and every one that are really humble, contrite, and have the right spirit, so that he can fulfill it, because he will fulfill all prophecies, and he is going to help people on the earth that are able and capable of doing it. So let us go now to this scripture, like it says, with a shout. That is the message that is going on still. But here comes an extraordinary message, and it says, and with the voice of an archangel. And we also looked, when we looked at Revelation chapter 10, chapter 10, where it says, I saw another strong angel coming down out of heaven. And arrived with a cloud. And a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was as the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. When we read verse 1 in chapter 10, that is actually a pictorial picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus Christ can appear in many different fashions in a vision-like story. Because God, when he speaks through a lot of different objects. You read about Gideon back in those days. There was an angel sitting there, and he spoke to Gideon, and Gideon turned back and spoke to the angel. And then the situation changed. And first it was the angel of the Lord. But the next stage and phase of it, it says, the Lord said, and now God was speaking through the angel. All right, in Revelation chapter 10, when you see an angel like that, then you know God is now at the break of instructing people as if it is the Lord himself. All right? And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his feet upon the sea, and his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth. Of course, when he says a strong, mighty angel, hey, if you go down to the beach, and you put one foot on the sea and one on the land, you know that you're not big enough to make a big difference. But it doesn't really say that the angel is standing in the sand and trying to be on both sides. It is really a pictorial picture that God has power over dry land as well as the sea. Yeah. And those two elements are just indicating people. And he said there, when he had the feet upon the earth and the sea, he cries with a great voice, as a lion roareth. And when he cried, the seven thunders uttered their voices. So here we have a thundering voice. And I like to take a balanced picture of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Because he says first a shout, and then he says with a voice of an archangel. The voice of an archangel. And in Revelation 10, here it is the voice of that angel as a lion roareth. And when he cried, the seven thunders uttered their voices. Well, in Israel, there is said many times, God only have one major prophet at the same time. And he doesn't have many prophets saying things at the same time. But that's not fully the truth. Because when you look at the time where Israel was led in captivity to Babylon, then you had a major prophet, Jeremiah. He lived in Israel when Israel was taken captive to Babylon. And in Babylon, there rose up an instrument called Daniel. And Daniel and Jeremiah lived at the same time. And then there was another major prophet, Ezekiel. He was also taken captive, and he lived by the river Sebar, of course, some distance away from Babylon, but still in the same time element. So you have three major prophets prophesying at the same time. The timing was when Israel was in captivity. So here, at least you have one place in the Bible where three men was operating. So when we look here in this one, and I will say, if Israel, as a small nation, had one, two, or three prophets operating at the same time, what about today, when we have 9 billion people on the earth? And the Lord said, send the gospel out, preach to all the world until the end. And first shall the gospel reach the world. That doesn't mean that everyone in the world will believe the gospel. There will be people in many nations that don't know anything about the Bible because they're not interested. But for the ones that have a desire to want to know truth and to live out truth, God will send a tool, a minister, a ministry, send the gospel so they can reach it. And when seven thunders are going to utter their voices, God is going to inspire people, men, scattered around the globe. So it's not seven men that's going to lump themselves in one little big, one ball in one location of the world. But God is going to inspire men that will have a specific message to bring. And you saw that the angel had a book in his hand. John the Revelator, or John the Apostle, he saw that book, and God spoke to him through that angel, and the angel said, take the book and eat it, and it will be tasteful and sweet in your mouth, but it will be bitter in your belly. So what it really tells is, it's a well-spoken truth that is so nice to hear, but the consequences of the truth will make you have a sore stomach, because it is not a message that people will take easily and receive it. It's gonna do something to their stomach. All right, so here is a little book. And that little book is going to have a message. That book and that message is what the voice of the archangel is going to sound out in this world, so that the believers that are going to be raptured or captured away, caught away, because 1 Thessalonians, the dead in Christ shall rise, and they who are alive, their bodies will change. And then they will be brought into immortality. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 from verse 51, you will have the same type of message. that what is corrupt will be incorruptible, the dead shall rise, and the living shall rise. And when are they going to rise? And what is rising? It is the transformation of the mortal body into an immortal body. So 1 Thessalonians and 1 Corinthians will have the same type of message to transfer the believers, the dead in Christ, and the living, and they will rise from their graves, and the living will change, and they will be caught up in the air to be with the Lord. And that also goes with Revelation chapter 10. When you read that part in chapter 10, when the angel is bringing out that book, and the people are eating, the ones that are being called to eat it, when they come in, they will see the situation, and then they will preach what is coming. And remember, it's not going to be doctrine, because the message of the hour includes all the doctrines that is needed to prepare a people to be well prepared for the millennium kingdom. Right? So the only thing that is needed now is for us to turn from mortality to immortality. And then whatever we know to be known as the message or the teachings on the Bible. Because people that are born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, they're going to be people that's going to be ruling and reigning with Christ for 1,000 years. That is Revelation chapter 20. When you read chapter 20, verse 4, 5, and 6, you will find out that we will rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. All right, so that's the point. So here, when we are coming into this setting and season, where the voice of the archangel is speaking, it will become a revelatory, instrumental message to prepare and make people that are going to be in the rapture, prepare them to make them to be ready for the catching away. My. We have really something coming. And we will save that till tomorrow. Time is close again. We only have 30 minutes on this one. And I hope you're excited. 1 Thessalonians, 1 Corinthians, Revelation chapter 10 speaks about a holy moment where the body of Christ is going to be taken to be with the Lord, for always to be with Him. May the Lord bless you this morning. Father, grant understanding to my people so that everyone can see and rejoice and be ready for the catching away of the bride of Christ. That is my prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.